This is an interview with Wendell Wyatt at his office in the PacWest building in downtown Portland, Oregon. The date is May 19, 1988. The interviewer is Clark Hansen for the Oregon Historical Society. This is tape three, side one. Pardon me, this is tape four, side one. So how then did Walter Husk be able to circumvent the normal channels of the Republican Party to get control of it?
Simply by going out county to county and getting precinct people to file for the Republican precinct chairman in as many of the precincts as he could, and then getting them to vote for him as the Republican state chairman. Very simple. It shows the weakness of the Republican Party when that can be done.
Were any of the other people, any of the other elected officials in particular, yourself or Hatfield, aware that this was going on?
No, he surprised everyone, and we didn't really have a great deal of interest in trying to get competent people to file as precinct committee men and women.
And why was that?
Well, because we assumed that there would be a certain number of people, voluntary, who would become precinct committee people, and we assume that the state central committee would have competent officers, and that they really wouldn't play too large a part in our campaigns. Of course, now this was 1978, and I'd been out of office for 3 years, but I still had a very great interest in seeing that things went smoothly in the Republican Party.
Well, when Husk did become state chairman, what kind of communication was going on between the other Republicans in the state? Particularly between yourself and Hatfield and Packwood and the other
elected
officials.
Well, maybe to give you a little flavor of it, I never met Walter Huss before or after he became Republican state chairman. I wouldn't know who he is if I came face to face with him, and I suspect that's the situation with other members of the Republican establishment, meaning many of the business community and many other leading political figures. I don't think any of our Republican office holders would attempt to reach out and try to gain his support, or his wife, who was very active also.
So there weren't any attempts that you know of by Hatfield then to communicate with him?
I think not, but that's speculation. But I'd be greatly surprised if there had been.
What kind of effect did this have on a person like Hatfield or Packwood's own staff? You were referring to the party being fractured by these groups of that each had around himself. How did the process of Husk becoming chairman then affect that?
I don't think it had any effect, Clark. I think he was considered, he certainly was by me, and I think he was considered by most Republican leaders in and out of office as kind of a nut.
And did he have any effect after becoming chairman that
he may have had a hand in getting a fellow named Lutz, L-U-T-Z, to run against Bob Packwood subsequently, and Lutz rolled up a very large minority of votes when Packwood ran this last time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it frightened Senator Packwood and probably most other Republican leaders. When Vicatia was governor, I remember one time when I was communicating with Jerry Ford when he was president, and afterwards, I remember his saying that, or asking the question, if that nut had been resolved, meaning whether or not the true Republicans who were interested in Republican Party and candidates had taken over the party from Huss, who in turn had previously taken over the party, so to speak.
So his running the state Republican Party was he had an effect outside the state as well. I mean, other people knew about who he was and what kind of a person he was beyond our borders.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I also think that people outside of the state of Oregon didn't understand the structure of the party in the state of Oregon and related more to the structure in their own state, which was much more formalized and much more effective than it was in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. You referred to Bob Packwood, and I'm wondering what Packwood's relationship was like with McCall and Hatfield, particularly around the time when McCall was considering his run for the Senate.
I don't think that Bob Packwood took one side or the other at that time. I feel relatively certain that he did not. So I don't think he had any influence, Hatfield versus McCall.
Was he closer to one of the two?
I don't think so.
Do you know of any effect that he might have had on McCall's decision to not run or Hatfield's decision to run?
I don't believe he did have. If he did, I am not aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall any other discussions during that time that either with that you had with McCall or with Hatfield or anyone else concerning his staying in politics, his running for the Senate again? Were there any other factors in that came along?
Well, I don't think so, Clark. I'm sure, looking back on it, that Tom was displeased with my sticking my nose in it as a congressman at the time I gave my interview to Bob Smith. He would josh about it with me, but I'm sure he really didn't like it.
Mm. And after Hatfield ran for re-election and got back to Washington, how did he feel about his effectiveness as a senator then? I mean, the war was still going on, and he was certainly very frustrated by that. But at some point, he had a turning point where he felt that he could be effective.
Yeah, I think that after he was reelected that first time, that he gradually felt more satisfied and more justified in that there were more and more people in the Congress that were questioning whether or not we should be in Vietnam at all, and that were taking and leaning more and more to his position. And I think that he felt that he was making an impression. And I think he was.
And how was he going about doing that?
Well, by his speeches and by his questioning the details of our involvement, by kind of elaborating upon the general swinging of public opinion in the country. And I think he took advantage of this to make people more aware of the harm that was being done every day that we continued to stay in Vietnam.
What kind of interactions would he have with other members of Congress in regards to the war? How would he go about trying to change their mind, get their support for stopping the war?
I think by his being so articulate and outspoken, and his public position, which had the effect of magnifying some of the real reasons why we should not be there, and events that were occurring that were negative to our being there. And I think also he had an effect one-on-one with some of the members of the Senate who were wavering. And I think he helped them make their minds up in regard to the war.
Do you recall who that might have been?
No, not specifically.
Or aside from his speeches on the floor, would he be conferring with these people in his office or their office or off on the side somehow?
Sure, I think he would be conferring with them one way or the other. And of course, at that time, Mark did a great deal of public speaking in various parts of the country and in various ways, in church groups and before chambers of commerce, various groups. And he would be very, very articulate in his position. And I think he changed a lot of minds.
Mm-hmm. How would he go about when he was trying to get legislation passed or try to affect a change in some legislation? How would he go about getting support for his legislation? There were a number of things that he was trying to get through Congress during the 70s. His plan for national restoration, and the Simple Form Tax Bill, and the Neighborhood Government Act. Do you recall how he went about doing this?
Not specifically, Clark. I do know that Mark worked very hard by talking with other members of the Senate, by his speeches, by his distribution of fact sheets to other members of the Senate. He would go about it in the traditional way, only he would try even harder than many of the other senators to obtain support for his legislation.
Would this distribution of fact sheets, was that a common practice?
Sure, it was. And getting co-sponsors for his legislation is another way that he was effective.
And was he able to get co-sponsors for very easily for his plans?
Well, I think he was, in a general way, particularly with friendships that he'd made and with people who had like views to his. This was an influence on getting co-sponsors, I'm sure.
How would how was his working relationship with the other members of the other representatives from Oregon during?
Well, his relationship with other members of Congress, including Oregon, was very, very good. People respected him because they believed that he was sincere, even though they may have disagreed with him and believed he was wrong. But his relationship one-on-one with other members of Congress, including Oregon, was first class, very good.
Maybe you could give me some examples in terms of his relationship with you, how the two of you worked together. What kinds of things would he discuss, and how would he do it? What was your one-on-one relationship like with him?
Well, my relationship with Mark Hatfield during the time I was in Congress was very, very good. And he would call me if he wanted help on the House side for various things where he knew that we had a common interest, and I would do the same with him. And try to get support in our respective legislative bodies. And we would frequently discuss matters in the Congress to try to find if we had a common view and how we could help each other in a reciprocal way.
Where would you get together when you wanted to talk about things?
In Mark's office frequently, occasionally in my office, probably just as frequently staff on staff. His staff knowing where he stood, of course, and my staff knowing where I stood, and the staff connections were very important in those days because of the enormous pressures on our time, committee work, the demands for presence on the floor, the time spent with constituents, the time spent traveling to and from Oregon, all of those pressures meant that we relied to a large extent upon our staffs.
And who on his staff would you rely on most?
Bill Berg, his administrative assistant when he was alive, Warren Nunn when during the short period he was there, and of course Jerry Frank during the longer period of time that he was there.
Did you have any social get-togethers with Hatfield? Did you
Yes.
socialize with him?
Yes, we did.
Where would that usually
take place?
Well,
they would generally be in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
Not too often because we both had such crowded agendas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would that be over dinner or after dinner? Or?
Generally dinner engagements, yes.
Mm-hmm. Would that be just you and him, or were there other people there usually?
Perhaps members of his staff, perhaps people from Oregon who were visiting to talk with both of us, and occasionally members of our staffs.
Were these then intentionally to deal with political issues and things of that sort, or were there times when you just got together?
The political discussions were very incidental. The occasions we had to get together outside of Congress were purely social, I would say. and we might occasionally discuss issues. I remember having discussions with him over appointments of federal judges, which was strictly a function of the Senate in its role of advice and consent, but Mark would always give me the courtesy of talking with me about various candidates, since he recognized I came from the legal world and he did not.
So what kinds of things would he ask you then?
Oh, just generally about competency and perceptions of the legal community with a particular candidate.
How did that process work?
It was very successful. It worked well, and it was very successful.
Would he usually rely upon your opinion about someone?
Yeah, generally, yes, but not always, because he had his own cadre of supporters on whom he relied, and he had lots of pressures, of course, every time. So it worked quite well. I'd be a good source of just input to him.
Did he also confer with other representatives about things like this?
I'm sure he did.
What was his relationship with Packwood in the Senate, and how would you describe that?
I would say that it wasn't close, but I know that they did confer, and their staff did confer.
Why would you not describe it as being close?
Because I know that it wasn't close.
And were there any reasons why they didn't work together close? I mean, they were both in the same party and from the same state, and
I think some of it was normal, where you have two strong senators from the same state, and they don't have clearly defined areas of interest.
Did they work together on legislation very often?
Oh, yes. I think they did.
Mm-hmm. Who on Hatfield's staff do you feel you worked with most effectively?
Probably Jerry Frank, and largely because he was there the longest period of time.
And would you be getting together with Jerry Frank, or would your staff be getting together with Frank? How was that rapport built?
Both. And of course, when Mark got on the Appropriations Committee, we would work very much with people such as Gary Barber, mm-hmm. Steve Crow, and other members of his staff who knew the problems, and mostly they would be problems in connection with the state of Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a sense for who Hatfield relied on the most on his staff?
Yeah, I would say Jerry Frank.
And how would you characterize their relationship?
Very, very close. I would say that they frequently traveled together from Washington to Oregon and back. And he had the greatest exposure to Mark, greatest contact with him.
And why do you think that he built up a close relationship with Frank and relied more upon him than, say, some of the other people that were on his staff, or even some of the people that preceded Frank in terms of his staff in the governorship with Travis Cross and Warren Nunn?
Well, of course, Travis Cross was in Oregon, so he was 3,000 miles away. Mm-hmm. Warren Nunn was there for just a few short months. And then Jerry succeeded as the number one assistant. And by his very nature, and the senators also, they came to rely upon each other very, very much.
How would... do you know how they would work together on legislation, or or with the committees?
They would both examine the reports that were available and then discuss matters and see where they came down and how close they were to a consensus between them. And they were close enough so that they could pretty well tell in advance how each other would feel on certain issues legislatively.
What about input that he received from friends and colleagues outside of that immediate circle? Were there other people back here in Oregon or in Washington that had strong access to Hatfield and
yes, there were in Washington, and they were primarily either the longtime old staff people for other senators or other senators themselves. And Mark maintained a very close relationship with many people in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. What about Antoinette, his wife?
I think that she probably had some influence. I think they discussed issues from time to time. I don't think that Antoinette had any dependence on astrology,
like others we've heard about recently.
Like others have been claimed to be.
Well, when you would be getting together with Mark at his home or in other social occasions, was she usually there?
Oh yes. Socially, we were always with our wives, except maybe an occasional lunch here and there during the day.
And when you'd be discussing issues, did she have views about these things as well? Or?
I don't recall that I'm sure she had views, but I don't recall that on social occasions she ever interjected herself, nor did my wife.
Would you say that she remained out of the scene or politically?
No,
or?
But I think when we discussed things on social occasions, it would generally be Mark and myself off to one side.
And do you have any reason to believe that she had a strong input on his views? That she was contributing in some way to his the way he decided on legislation?
No, I don't have any particular views. My views would be that Mark usually had his own mind on most issues, and Antoinette may have had views also that were parallel to his, but or they may have been completely separate, but I don't think she had a strong influence on his views.
Going 180 degrees on the other side then, how do you see him dealing with his adversaries? Who were his adversaries in the Senate?
Well, his adversaries in the Senate would be those people who were strong conservatives, and I mentioned Strom Thurmond as an example of those who might very well have strong opposite views from Mark, and others who were whose views were pretty parallel with Strom Thurmond's. And yet, I'm sure that Mark maintained a good social relationship and a personal relationship with them.